So today I'm not telling you to turn anywhere because we have another topical message today. I'm not going to even do a whole lot of review on our topic from last week was the importance of a devotional time. Seeking the Lord, making sure that you're cutting that time out. It's just the reality of human life, human existence, that things become commonplace for us, don't they? Over time, you know, if you're not vigilant and diligent, your following of Christ will become, it's just what we do. Or maybe it's just what we don't do. Huh? And that's a problem, and that's scary. And so we know that we have to seek the Lord. And it's very important. One of the ways you can do that is really putting some attention and focus on your devotional time, spending time with God, drawing near to God, digging into His Word. Today we're going to talk about a fairly complex issue. And by way of survey, which I hope, though, is also deep enough to give you some good insight and help in this issue. And I know that many, just from experience, let alone just from looking at the world, I know a lot of people struggle with anxiety. It's a very big and real issue. And there's a couple of things about the issue of anxiety that we really need to grapple with as Christians. We really do. And hopefully this, as we unpack the issue, it'll be something that's helpful for you to get a little bit of a start or a little bit to get your grip on and to be able to make some good changes in your life. I would say a few things, but I don't want to preach twice. It's already long enough. So let's pray. Ask God to guide us through His Word. We're going to bounce around a couple places with two main texts today. And certainly not going to preach four messages, but we'll at least try to do justice to a couple of very important texts on anxiety. Let's pray. Thank you, God, again for this time to get into your word. Thank you for those who, for many of us, much of our lives, some of us for decades, have made it a focus and a priority to come together on the Lord's Day to worship you and to hear from your word. And God, I pray that you would guide our time. Your word is beautiful, it is good, and it is perfect, and we need it. And certainly from personal and complex issues like anxiety, we need to hear from you and just help us to make good changes, God, and that this would be a fruitful time and one that really maybe we can even look back and use some of these principles all throughout our lives to grow and be better followers of Christ. High and lofty goal, and I know that you can do it, and we're praying that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. So anxiety, terminology is always incredibly important, especially with the English language being such as it is. Drives me crazy a little bit, but sometimes words mean different things to different people. Anxiety could be simply defined as care or concern. And Paul says this, very interesting. Apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Hopefully you don't take it as trite, but you'll often hear pastors say something like, you don't know until you know. You don't know what it's like carrying the burden of being in gospel ministry or being a pastor. And you really honestly don't. You can't. You don't know until you know. It's significant, and it's a calling, and that's why not everyone can understand. So you could say, in one way, that baby Paul was struggling with anxiety and he shouldn't have. That's not what we're supposed to take away from this, okay? What Paul is expressing here is the positive expression of anxiety, the non-sinful expression of anxiety. Anxiety is given to us for a reason. It's a type of fear. And you could imagine that if you tried to go through life with a completely, utterly, and total uncaring attitude, just nothing swayed you, whatever. What are we going to do today? Should we eat? Whatever, right? I mean, nothing would get done. Maybe that's half the problem with the world that we're living in, right? We need a little more anxiety. Come on, guys, care about something. There is positive expression of anxiety. Paul said, there's pressure on me. I care what happens in the churches. I want the churches to do well. I want the best for these churches. And there is a form of anxiety that happens, and it's positive. Life doesn't lead me to have an uncaring attitude about the churches. I care. I want the best. And he felt that as a type of pressure. It could be, if you will. Now, hear this. Let me just caveat this real quick before someone gets the wrong idea. There's good anger. Be angry and do not sin. Not just it's okay to be angry. Be angry. Huh? We almost never experience it. Almost never do you experience good anger. Almost never. It's really sad. That's one of the reasons we struggle with sinful anger. I would say it's similar with anxiety. Almost never do you experience good anxiety. That's the problem. Okay? That's the problem. And so that's what we have to sort of grapple with that. There is good anxiety, but is your anxiety good anxiety? Okay? So that's just the caveat. Keep that in mind. Anxiety is really just an emotion. And care or concern, various words concerning anxiety. Some visuals there. Various words concerning anxiety. Concerns. You know, your concerns make you anxious, nervous. I feel nervous, and they mean I'm expressing anxiety. I feel anxious, right? The same. Sadness can be, anxiety can be felt like sadness, and sometimes to the whole point of dread even, you know, just overwhelming. I think I have that's not the one. An overwhelming dread. It just feels like, I don't know if I can handle this, or maybe even worse, I can't handle this. The dictionary definition, a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. That's very true. Anxiety feels like you're out of control, and you desperately want something to be in control. You may not express it to yourself that way, but that's what's going on. I just want to know what's going to happen. I just want to know that it's going to be okay. I want to be able to, and I want to know, right? I don't want to have to try. I want to know. I want to see the future, and it's going to work out, and it'll be okay. And that's not logical reality. Nothing works like that. A nervous disorder. This is the psychiatric definition. A nervous disorder characterized by a state of excessive uneasiness and apprehension. So an excessive again. Typically with a compulsive behavior or up to and including panic attacks. And so anxiety, as the psychiatric definition goes, is a negative emotion. And again, why? Because we almost never experience positive anxiety. Now, we're a little too strong, because we all live in positive anxiety a little bit, right? But when it takes on that, when we feel it as anxiety, it's not positive. How do I say it that way, right? When we're experiencing it, it's not positive. It's not the good expression. Several disorders, I think I might have a list here, yeah. These are just terms that the world has come up with. And sometimes the world is on to something, right? Now, it's not that they have the answer or they know what they're talking about, but they've sort of stumbled onto a definition that makes sense, okay? So that's why I even list these. But, and again, also just to say, look at the problem that it is. Generalized anxiety disorder, OCD, compulsive disorder, panic disorder, panic attacks, very interesting and if you don't have that one, very difficult to understand someone that does. Post-traumatic stress disorder, social anxiety disorder, bipolar or manic depressant. No one uses that word anymore, but that's the old term. Manic and then depressant. You know, that's why they call it bipolar. You live at the polar extremes. You know, you're way up here, you're way down here. Anxiety. And then in depression, which to me is the end of those things, not necessarily in the psychological world, but to me, the depression is the end of all of that you're dealing with. Anxiety takes on life of its own, you end up in depression, and then you're depressed, and so you get more anxious. It's a terrible cycle to find yourself in. Too many anxiety is a thing. And you'll find that in the world's definitions of almost every negatively expressed emotion. It's outside of you. Anger is seen as outside of you. It's something that you need to exercise, almost like a demon. That's bizarre to me. And I've had some very interesting discussions with psychologists about that. Because there's no hope in that if it's outside of you. How do you protect? You don't have a sword against anger, right? If it's outside of you, it's not outside of you. Anger is you, right? And it's the same way here. It's not a thing outside of you, but it's seen as a force. It's seen as a thing. So what happens when it's seen as a thing, it's labeled as a disorder and treated like a disease. The problem with that, this is just an aside. I know we have way more material than we have time today, but think about this with me. I want to put this bug in your ear. The problem with when we see, and I'm just going to be plain today because we're in church, when we see sinful expressions of emotion, okay, this is for us. We don't have to trumpet this out to the world. This is for us. When we see sinful expressions of emotion, and we see those things as outside of ourselves, treated like a disease, but there's no pathology to it. There is no way to treat it. You can't nail it. Well, you've got a problem with, you have a compulsive anxiety disorder. Great. What's wrong in me? Pinpoint it. Well, where's the test? No, it's a disease of the mind. Well, what's wrong with my mind? Take this pill. Well, what does the pill treat? We have no idea. It works. Okay? Now you see, there's a problem with that. Okay? Now, I'm not saying, but think about it. There's no path, there's nothing to test. There's no pathology, there's no results, there's no end. Interesting. How do you treat that? We throw a pill at it until we find one that works. Is that satisfying to you? I don't like that, right? And we all know every pill has 18 side effects. Okay? It's not outside of you. It's not outside of you. It's problematic for treatment because what we do is we treat symptoms. And sometimes, let's be honest, that's all we got, right? That's all we got. Throw a pill at it. That's all we got. We're just trying to make it through this mess, okay? So I'm not saying it's stupid or any of that. It's sometimes just our best effort, right? We know so little. And we know better as Christians, but sometimes I get it. I see why that happens. So anxiety is an emotion or an emotional response. It's intense. It feels out of control. You feel restless, wound up, on edge. You're tired. You have trouble concentrating, irritable. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. You feel overburdened. There's no escape from it because it's you, right? And it's just these things that get a hold and they have a life of their own. It's awful for some people. Some people that really struggle, I mean, we all struggle with anxiety at some level. For the people that really struggle with it, it's awful, okay? It's just overwhelming. There are physical consequences, stomach aches, tight muscles, headaches, pain in general, sleep problems, overt sweating. It's very intense. Worry, fear, anxiety. The reason I put it like that is because it's all the same issue expressed in different ways. Now, when we think about it, why do people struggle with anxiety? Well, duh, right? The world is crazy. It's a crazy world that we live in. And one of the things that, I got so much material today, but one of the things that just really grieved me about how we handled COVID as a culture, it was stupid. Let's just say the word. And what we never are allowed to talk about is the detrimental psychological effects that all of that had on people. It is just awful. The constant, everybody's dying, you hear it every day. Everybody's dying. All day, every day. Was that wise? Was that wise to feed on that? Was that wise? It drove people crazy. In an already hard world to live in, why would we do that to ourselves? Fear, 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 fear. Why? We already live in a hard world. Let's not cause more fear. That's why I just shut it all off. I had to. I was going nuts. I was going nuts, just a little bit that I was consuming. It made me crazy. Like, no, I'm done. You don't know what's going on in the world. Good. Right? Jesus is in charge. It'll be okay. That's where I had to go. All right? Think about it, what we did. And you saw it. You saw it in drug use just going, spiraling out of control. Suicide, spiraling out of control. Crazy. Because of fear. Pressure of fear, 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 fear. Constant COVID stats. Listen to what we had to deal with and just remember it. Political division and pressure. Everybody trained and encouraged to hate the other side. Don't talk about it. Don't remember that they're your neighbor. Just hate them. They're Republican. Oh, those guys are the Democrats. They're the problem. Hate them. Immediately. Just told that. And what did we do? Oh, okay, yes, right? Let's do it. Relational hatred and social media blew up and everybody just decided that it's fine just to be nasty to each other, as nasty as you can get. Hey, it's just social media. I'm sitting at home. I don't have to go to work. I guess I'll just get on Facebook and yell at everyone, right? Yay. Life got upended and you couldn't do what you were supposed to be able to do, what you would normally do. Everybody, a lot of people had unemployment uncertainty. Jobs were on the line. Social unrest, we had that whole season of riots and all of that stuff that went on. What a crazy time to be alive, right? Think about all of that. How did we make it through that, by the way, right? Isn't it nuts? Praise God that we got through all of that. Out of control inflation at the end, and now food is really hard to pay for, rent, housing prices are a third up, you know, and what are you going to do? That's a lot to have to process. I call it a world of fears. Nuts. Relational problems, like this one here. Now, I assigned something to Martha that maybe I shouldn't have. I feel like Martha liked drama. Do you think that's true? Make her help me, Jesus. Right? She was anxious. Jesus, she's not doing anything. Make her help me. Maybe not, but I think so. I think she liked drama. Some people are just like that. And some people just feed on that. And then those are hard to be, people are hard to be around. You have family with those kind of issues. You have unsafe family members or maybe family members that are going off the rails. It causes a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. And that, think about it. If you already struggle with anxiety, man, you just get buried. You just get buried in this world of craziness. Financial stresses, health worries, health concerns, the real reality of death, natural disasters, crime blowing up in all around us, evil people in general, wars, you know. Oh, it's, well, we got to get World War 4 or 5 going now, right? It's always something there to cause fear. Lots of chances to worry. And one of my favorite stories, it's stupid, you already heard it a dozen times, but the dude that said, I worry about everything and it's working. I worry about everything and it's working. None of the stuff I worry about ever comes to pass. Right? Just, that's the world we live in. Worry, 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 fear. And crazy. It's a little overwhelming even just sitting here talking about it, quite honestly, if you think about it. There's a lot to be worried about. So that's where we live. And it's only overwhelming because we're talking about it. It's just normal life. So now we get in, and there's really two scriptures that I want us to look at least to survey and to not really unpack, but a little bit, to see what does God tell us? What do we do if you live in a crazy world where people profit off of our fear? Let's just be honest about it. See, fear makes you easy to control because fear involves something that you might lose or something that you might not get. Oh, I got to have that to live. And so people control us with that, with those fears. So what do we do? There's two great scriptural references, and I want to look at both of these at least a little bit today. And the first one is Matthew 6:25 through 34. Very helpful in this issue of anxiety. You know, and just to be fair and to remind us of reality too, the last 3 years, they were hard. But that doesn't mean we didn't have anxiety before that, right? That does not mean that at all. There's always been plenty of reasons to have anxiety. This, to me, is just sort of a microcosm where it just kind of got blown up, right? It got crazy for a few years. And I hope it settles down. You know, I hope we we just separate. And that's for me anyway. That's what I'm doing. No, I don't even care. And it's easy too, you know. Like I get with some of my friends who are like, "Can you believe what so and so is doing?" I'm like, "Yeah, wait a minute, no, I don't want to talk about that." Right? No, stop. No, please, please save me from that. I want to talk about it too, but I don't want to. Matthew 6 helps us greatly in dealing with anxiety. It's probably my favorite. The next one is very good and it's very practical, but Matthew 6 is very helpful. "And therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Wow. "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Don't be anxious. A command. Now again, I don't want to waste your time this morning, but I want you to think about this. Anxiety is a complicated issue. It is, right? It's a personal issue and it's a deep issue. Okay? But having said all of that, hear this. As Christians, a lot of times we psychologize. We all psychologize issues that are simple. Right? Now, if God can command us, don't be anxious, that should get our attention. Right? Because when I talk to people that are struggling with anxiety, the first thing they say is, "I can't. I have to be anxious. I have no control." First thing. "I can't stop being anxious." I love Doc Smith. "Tell me what can't means. What do you mean can't?" Right? Someone handcuffed you. I've heard him say this. Someone handcuffed you and they hold you in a closet and they make you be anxious. You mean it's hard, right? You mean it's hard. It's a command from our Creator that gives us insight. That means that we have some control over our anxiety. Some. Right? We have the ability to obey commands from the Creator. We have the ability. We can do it. We don't have to live in anxiety. We don't have to let fear control us. We don't have to be overwhelmed. We don't have to feel the things that we feel and be completely dominated by this issue of anxiety. "Therefore" is in there. You saw what the passage read. It's about real life stuff. "Therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" This is real life stuff. In living here in America in 2023, my desires for my anxiety of food is, am I going to have good food? Right? Am I going to have the food I want? Can I afford eggs? Right? It's so dumb. I want to make a cake. Ooh, that's going to be expensive, right? I can afford it, right? I don't like it, but I can afford it. Their anxiety about food was not the same. Theirs was, will I have food, right? Will my one pair of pants wear out? Is the well going to still have water in it next week? That's different. We are not the same, right? That's real life stuff. And God says to those people who had no Walmart to run to, right? You know, "Oh man, Walmart doesn't have the exact flavor of Snapple I like. That's my life, okay? Is the well going to have water in it? Is the crop going to survive, right?" He tells those people, don't be anxious. Wow. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about food. "But Jesus, I have to, right? I have to be worried." No, your Father takes care of you. physical concerns. Don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? Don't be anxious. Tomorrow will be anxious for its own self, right? Don't you love that? I love that one. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. That's half of anxiety right there, isn't it? What's happening? What's going to happen tomorrow? How's it going to turn out? Oh, no. I don't know what's going to go. You just wasted all your time. You wasted your whole day worrying about tomorrow. It's not even here yet, right? Don't be anxious about tomorrow. And I think Jesus is being funny here. You'll have plenty of time to be anxious tomorrow. Right? Isn't he trying to be funny? Why are you being anxious about that now? That's a waste of time. Wait until it happens tomorrow, then you can be anxious about it. Right? Now, you might say it's normal to be worried about the normal activities of life. But life is not about material things, especially for us as people that know Christ, we're born again. This life is about more than just what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, the stuff that we have, our new cars, our homes, money in our bank account. Life is so much more than that. That's such a small part of what it is to be human, isn't it? It's such a tiny part. This life is so short. Those things are so temporal. Don't be anxious about those things. Life is more than that, more than food, more than clothing. And what we do, being temporally minded, is we waste all of our focus, our energy, on making sure that I have just what I want right now. That's what anxiety is about. I gotta have, this life has to be what I want it to be. And I put all my focus into that. And Jesus is trying to draw our attention out to a bigger kingdom, a bigger way of thinking. That there is another life that I live for. That there is a bigger God that I live for. I don't need these things. And if the things that I do actually physically need to survive, God will take care of those. What I need to do is put my focus up here. I need to have my focus out here. What does God have for me? Who is God? What does he say? Change your focus. He gives us a rather convicting comparison. And it should be, let's see here. Let's this one first. There's two comparisons. The second one's very convicting. He gives us an argument from creation on why we shouldn't be anxious. Look at the birds of the air, okay? Look at creation. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Look at creation. Were the lilies worried about being looking nice? Did they put all of their energy into it? But what happened? God took care of it. Did the birds build a barn? God took care of them. Right? The lilies, they're so beautiful, and they're one day. They're day lilies. They're burned up, thrown into the oven. That's all they were for. But God took care of them. That's the argument from creation. I think that's a good argument. I'm sitting here, I'm all worried about it, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know how life is going to be, and I don't know what's going to turn out, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And then God says, well, I'm in control of this entire world, and it's going fine. What are you worried about? For your entire life, I have taken care of you, and now you don't think I'm going to feed you tomorrow? Why? I had that discussion with my mom. My mom struggled with anxiety, and something happened, and she said, oh, I just don't know if we're going to be able to have food. You know, Mom, you live in America and you live in Iowa. You're going to have food. It's just the reality. You don't even have to bring God into this discussion. You will have food in Iowa. You know what would have to happen in Iowa for there to be no food for you. I mean, the whole world is in trouble if Iowa has no food. That's about all we have in Iowa is food, right? Right, we got lots of food. We feed the world here. That's the nature of anxiety. It's not rational, is it? Right? Look at creation. God takes care of it. He's got the whole creation. He's got you. Amen? Now, the next one is the convicting one. And this is convicting to me. It should be to you. When you are struggling with anxiety, you are living like the Gentiles. Ouch! The Gentiles seek these things. The world lives like that. The world thinks like that. It's all they have. Material things is all they've got. Not you, right? You have so much more. Seek, the Gentiles seek these things. Your Heavenly Father knows you need them. That's so helpful to me. When I am tempted to be consumed by anxiety and worried about things, and really, you know, now that I'm the age that I am, there are some times when I worried about retirement years and am I going to be able to work into my retirement years because I'm going to have to, all these kind of things. That's minor. That's too far out for me. It's whatever. But boy, isn't it easy to just get caught up into the vector of the evil of our culture? It is for me. This the twistedness of it all and how the evil aspects are gaining so much momentum and the whole culture is going, that drives me nuts. And I got to back up and say, life is about more than that. God's got it. I don't have to worry about whether it's going to work out and this culture is going to swirl down the toilet. It doesn't matter. That's a Gentile thing. I'm thinking and I'm living like a Gentile. I'm putting my focus in the wrong bucket at that moment. And I can tell why, because I'm anxious about it. I'm nervous. I hate it. I'm upset and I'm overwhelmed by it. Pagan living is in my notes. Living like a pagan and not trusting God. Ouch. The Gentiles seek these things. The issue then in Matthew 6, faith versus anxiety. And that is the issue. That's the whole of the issue. If you want the simple, how do you deal with anxiety today? It's just faith. Because that's what's going on. Anxiety, and when I'm saying anxiety, I'm talking sinful anxiety. Anxiety is absolutely a faithless problem. Because what you want is sight. You want it to work out. You want it to be okay. You want it ordered, right? Some of us are very orderly. I want it orderly. And if it's not, then why not? It needs to be fixed. Put it in order. I got to know. And, you know, a lot of times some of us that struggle with anxiety, it's because God doesn't want us to know. He wants us to deal with it, right? Deal with this. Why aren't you trusting me in this? Who am I in the middle of this problem, right? Like my mom. You really think that God is not going to feed you? She needed to grapple with that. You really think that your Creator loves you so little that He won't feed you? Now, nobody wants to hear that, right? I don't want to hear that. But that's the issue. Faith versus anxiety. I choose to not be overwhelmed by my circumstances. I'm just going to trust the Creator in the middle of this. I know He's good. I know who He is. And didn't Jesus say that? You have little faith? How little is your faith? That's what Jesus is saying. You're all consumed with these anxieties. Where's your faith? Right? You know? Oh, man, God's not going to give me the right color. Well, too bad. You didn't need that color then, right? The color shirt. And it's life right there. It's so dumb. Oh, you have little faith? Why won't you just trust God for this? Worry is the opposite of faith. Worry is living by sight. We need to see. And anxiety is about trust. Trust. And for us, again, like I said, it's usually fear of discomfort or fear of the unknown, things like that. And it's not as bad as theirs was. God cares for us. He'll take care of us. And so we have to have faith. He told us earlier in the passage, I don't know if I have this one up next, but let's see. Oh, that's just the pagan thinking one again. Oh, yeah, here it is. He told us that He would feed us. Are you of not more value than they? If God clothes the grass of the field and is thrown in the oven, will He not clothe you? See, God will take care of us. We just have to trust Him for it. And again, just as an aside, I know for myself, I'm sure some of you have the same issue. I don't worry whether I'm going to eat. I just don't know if it's going to turn out the way I want it to. That's my issue. My issue is not, boy, I know I'm probably not going to eat. I just don't know if it's going to turn out the way I want it to. And that is, for me then, to submit to God's will and get what sometimes I don't like, and very often looking back saying, praise God, He did what He wanted to do and I didn't get what I wanted to do. But that's the issue, faith. God has promised to clothe us and feed us. And we have to trust Him in it. He cares for us. He said He would. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be open. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, it will be open. Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Trust God. He's got you. He'll take care of it. And he'll give you what you need. He won't always give you what you want, but he'll give you what you need. So when you're struggling with anxiety, the thing to do is seek God. Cry out to God. And don't play games. Don't pretend like you're not anxious. You know, I think we learn that, don't we? We learn that we have to be a good Christian and we're not allowed to be pure and playing with God and tell him our concerns. And be honest. God, I am anxious and I hate it. Why do I do this? Why am I feeling like this? God, I want to trust you. Help me. I know I'm trusting that you will take care of me, God. Why am I, you know, show me where my faith is lacking. Seek God. Run to God. I love that one. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that's higher than me. It's an instruction to their friend. Friend, when you see me acting completely overwhelmed, lead me to God immediately. Remind me of who God is. That's what we need in those times. We need reminded of the truth. Lead me to the rock that is higher than me. Show me who God is in my anxiousness. Don't just give me platitudes. Tell me about God. Tell me who he is, and so that I can seek him. Don't you love that? Seek first. If you're anxious, seek first the kingdom of God. What do? Seek God. It's the answer to anxiety. And then God will give you what you need. All these things that you were worried about, all these things that you were concerned about, those will be added to you. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Seek God. If your mind is stayed on God, it's in the answer for anxiety. You're trusting, you're leaning into God. And then lastly for this part, is to live for a better goal. And that can have a lot of different expressions in your life, but just, I think, adopting this sort of as your life focus, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. What if God decides not to feed me tomorrow? That's a bummer. All right, whatever God wants, as long as I can please God, right? What if God doesn't give me the financial situation I want, per se, you know, right? That's the clothing one. Okay. He knows what he's doing. It's okay. I'll trust him. I'll let him be God. I'll let him work it out. Whether we are at home or away, making our aim, what can I do to please God in the middle of this situation? And certainly, succumbing to anxiety is not it. You know, that's the temporal side of it, and being overwhelmed by things that you're out of your control. Learn that nothing is in your control. Some people, that's not that helpful, so I say it rarely, but learn the truth. Nothing is in your control. Some of you need to hear that. There is literally nothing in your control. Right? You think there is, and you have responsibilities and choices to make sure, but control, you can make sure it happens, very rare. Right? Yeah, I don't even know if my truck's going to start when I leave the building. Isn't that true? It probably will. I have no control over that. There are so many things that are so much bigger than that. Our next text, and this one I won't promise. The next text we'll go fairly quickly through. And this is the practical side then. Here are some things you can actually do if you're upside down. Because like I said, just because I'm sharing these passages don't mean that I don't understand. This is hard. It's heavy. It's real. Right? It's real life. Anxiety is difficult to overcome, and we all at some level experience it, and we all at some level wrestle with it. And some people, it is very difficult for them. And we have to be really careful when sharing these kind of things and walk through life with people, not just throw principles at people. But this is the practical side. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Interesting that both those passages are a command. Don't do it. Don't let anxiety rule you. Don't be anxious. To me, that is the primary thing where you're going to, those are fighting words for someone that actually is struggling with anxiety. Because they will tell you, almost to a person, that's insensitive. I cannot be, if I could not be anxious, I would. I hate it. If I could just not be anxious, then I would not be anxious. So that's, be careful. But hey, it's not me, right? It's the Creator. The person who made you tells you, you have some control over this. Don't be anxious. And we need to hear that. It doesn't fit our culture that well. We're supposed to coddle everybody. God says, don't do it. Start there. Start there. God says, don't be anxious. I'm going to work on it. Don't be anxious about anything. Now, some of the practical stuff. Rejoice in the Lord. Seeking Christ, rejoicing, that replaces anxiety. There's always something to rejoice in this world, and especially if you're rejoicing in the Lord. If you find yourself in a place of particular anxiety, ask yourself why and ask yourself where you can find some positive things to think on. Rejoice in the Lord. Here's what God has done. Here's who God is. Reflect on those things. Why am I reflecting on the negative all the time? Why am I worried about tomorrow? There's plenty of time to be worried about that tomorrow. And just rejoice in the Lord. Man, God has been good to me. He's always taken care of me. He's given me heaven. He died for my sins. He loves me, calls me his child. He's made me many promises. He told me that he would feed me. He told me he would take care of me. I mean, rejoice. Praise God, right? You know, just as overwhelming as the list we went over earlier, isn't it just as overwhelming to go over all the positive things, that, who God is and what he's done? Rejoice in the Lord. And again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. See Jesus in your circumstances. The Lord is at hand. You could take this one of two ways. Probably the main way that it's given to us here is that God is watching, because this is in the context of a conflict between two people in the church, Philippians 4 is. So stop fighting and fussing and being anxious. God's watching. But we can also say the Lord is at hand. God is with you. One of the main characteristics of anxiety, it feels like you're alone. It's just overwhelming. You've got to handle this yourself. It's not true. You're not alone. God is with you. The one who made you is with you. He's taking care of you. He'll help you. He'll walk through it with you. He's at hand. Be gentle. Be reasonable. See Jesus in your circumstances. Life is lonely. Life is full of pressure. And a lot of times it feels like there's no way out, and there's certainly, and right now, I mean, I feel it all the time. It feels like there's just nobody to help you. There's nobody that cares. And that's hard. And that'll blow your anxiety up. It's not true. It's not true. The Lord is at hand, and it's generally true that you can find someone that cares that will help you. And not, you know, I can't say that for certain, but that's generally true. You can find someone who will help you. You're not alone. And Jesus has, in fact, told you that he promises to never leave you alone. I'll never leave you. Never. The only person in the entire creation has made a promise to you. You are not alone. See Jesus in your problems and in your fears. Pray, man. Go right onto your knees. If you're all bent over and struggling and overwhelmed with anxiety, pray. Don't be anxious, but pray. Don't be anxious, but instead take those concerns to the Creator. Pray. And I'm not going to unpack what all those words are, but look at it. That's the point is, when you're overwhelmed, seek God, get on your face and talk to your Father. And look at that. What are we worried about? Physical concerns. Your kingdom come, Jesus said. Pray, say, you know what? This world isn't that important to me, God, where I have to let it rule me. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Whatever you want in my life right now, I'm good with that. Please bring it on. pray. With Thanksgiving, and we made the Thanksgiving list, I use that. That's very helpful. Cast all your anxieties to him. He cares for you, right? That's part of that prayer. That's a physical casting. God, this is overwhelming. It's out of my control, but it's not out of yours. You take it, right? Just, I would say those words. God, you take this. My job could be ending this week. I blew it. I don't know what's going to happen. How am I going to take care of my family? I have no idea. God, you take it, right? You take it. This is overwhelming me. I'm going to trust you that whatever comes in the weeks to come, you're going to work it out and it'll be okay. Casting those right out. Pray. Actually talk to God about it. Guard your mind. Guard your heart and mind. These kinds of problems and struggles and sins are primarily thinking problems, a majority of the time. Emotional and thinking problems are the same, it's synonymous. And so we're reminded just to guard that. Don't, and you can read it, but isn't it, you know, if you're there, you felt it. That's all you think about. Whatever that anxious thing is, that's all you think about. It just consumes you. And that was, like I said, the whole, you know, that just strolled across our TV. Every day, tune in, find out how many people died. All day long, man, that'd drive you nuts. Why did we do that? That's so bad, right? That's, how could that have helped anyone? I can't see that. That's awful. That's the opposite of this, isn't it? Set your mind on things that are better. If you're feeling overwhelmed, you know what it's like. It just goes around and, oh no, I can't, how am I going to get out? I can't believe this is happening. And that's all you, and you go to bed thinking that, and you wake up every 5 minutes, oh no. And think on different things. It's a problem in the mind. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Make yourself think about better things. Think about the character of God. Think about the good things that you have going on in your life, even practical things. You know, I have a nice family. I have people that love me. I have people that care about me. I'm cared for. You know, I enjoy these hobbies, whatever, right? And it has to be something that's good. And then morph that more towards who is God and what is God doing in your life and how can you trust him as you think about those things. Don't let those things take control of your mind. Direct your own thinking. Again, if God tells us this in way of commandment, then you have some control and you need to do your part. You know, and you may be really struggling with it. You have some control and make sure that you're doing what you are commanded to do. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Very important. Get help. The church in general is a resource. I read a really good article this week from our counseling association, and it was really helpful for me because I struggle with it. A fair amount of my time here, we've helped hundreds of people that you've never met in our counseling ministry in my time here. And lately, I'm way too busy. I just am. I just don't have time around the cracks for literally anything in life. And I've got one guy that I just love that I'm helping and just made a commitment. I'm not going to shut him down. And an article said, it talked again, and it was a reminder to me why do we do that? Why does our church waste resources when almost no one comes here to become a member of our church as a result of our counseling ministry? It's very, very rare. And even the ones that have, most of them have moved on. Because we are not building our church, Jesus is building his. All right? That's simply it. That's it. And churches have blown it in helping people dealing with real life issues. Let's admit it. But we're doing our best. And there are many people who are as well, and they want to help you. They want to help you. And if you're at that point where the anxiety has you, get help. There's no shame in it. If that's worldly, get help. Ask for help. And it doesn't have to be some formal thing even. Ask a friend, right? Can we pray together once a week? Because I have anxiety, right? That's simple. Help set my mind in a better place. When I'm struggling, can I just call you? And you can tell me who God is, right? Yeah, just that. Just get some help. Remember God's promise. We saw those in Matthew 6. This comes in two ways in Philippians 4. The peace of God, this is the and, pray, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. So you get the peace of God, which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice things, and the God of peace will be with you. So you get the peace of God and the God of peace. Pretty awesome when you think about it. Think on the right things. Pray. Catch your anxieties on him. Turn to God. Seek God. Pray. Remember and reflect on what is true, what is right. You'll be filled with peace, and God himself is with you. Wow. Pretty awesome, isn't it? Pretty awesome. Remember God's promise. He's with you. He'll walk you through it. God will stand guard over your heart and mind. I love that. Guard your hearts and your minds. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. You're not in it alone. You do have some control. You have responsibility, but you're not in it alone. God will help you work through it. You'll result in peace, relief, rest, more of a knowledge of the presence of God, a deepening faith as you work through. You know, you could even choose to see anxiety. I don't know if I would say as a gift, but you can see it as God's working in your life. Maybe this is what you need. Maybe right now you need, God is stirring you up with anxieties to deepen your faith. So you learn to trust him more. That's what the issue is, right? It's faith versus anxiety. Each individual is different, whatever God is doing. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And just again, as an aside, don't make receiving peace the goal. You'll fail on that one, right? You may not get the peace that you want. Make getting God the goal, okay? Just be careful about that. It's easy. I mean, I live there. I live in this world too, right? I just wish this mess would go away. Why won't this just stop, right? And God, I have a better goal for you right now. Wake up, right? Don't make peace the goal. Because your mind has stayed on peace, but because your mind has stayed on God. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Let God grow your faith. Anxiety by fear, it majors on worst case scenarios and the what ifs of life. Overwhelmed by the things that are utterly out of our control, and virtually everything is out of our control. And so it's easy to see why we're overwhelmed. But anxiety by faith means that you take that emotion that you've been given so that you'll actually do something in life instead of being a potato. You'll take that emotion, and by faith, you'll learn to harness that into doing what you're called to do while trusting God. It's very different. It doesn't probably sound that different to you, but it's very different. You take the emotion that has been given to you by God to help you actually produce something in this world, and you take that and you harness it by faith to trust God. God has told me to go and talk to my neighbor about Christ, so I'm going to do it, right? God has told me to get a job and work because work comes from God in Genesis 2. Work is good, so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to trust God to provide for my family. Trust God to take care of me in this situation. God has told me that all of the political leaders in the world are appointed by him. I don't want to believe that. He told us. By faith, I'm going to submit to them and let God be God in these situations. And if I don't like it, I'm just going to trust God. I have to, right? I have to trust God. We trust God and we do our responsibility. That's the answer for anxiety. Trust God and do what you're responsible for. So simple. For such a complex and hard part of life. Let's pray. God, thank you for your grace today. And I know this is preaching, it's not personal, and I hope that no one hears it as such, that it's presented as trite, because, boy, you know God, that I certainly know that is not true. That it's very, very hard for some people. Anxiety is very difficult, and especially for some of us, it's our thing. But that doesn't leave us without option, God. And we know that your word is true, and we have seen so many people have victory in the area of anxiety, and we're thankful for that. God, we're all in different places, but we all need to hear this today. Help us. Grow our faith. Show us who you are. Remind us of your faithfulness. And God, not to overlook anxiety. Maybe some of us don't have as much anxiety as others. It's there. And we need to grow in our faith as well. And so we pray to that end. And I just pray for all these dear friends of ours here. And I know some of them struggle with anxiety. God, just give them relief. Help them today. It feels so awful. Just give them the peace that they long for. Grow them in their faith and their trust of you, God. I just pray for them. And we're just looking forward to good days ahead. God, hook our hope where it belongs. I think that's probably what's been revealed in these last few years. Our hope is hooked in the wrong place. I know mine is often. And hook our hope where it belongs, God. You are good. You have heaven for us. You love us. You are perfect. And God, we just want your will. We want to know you more. And we pray to that end in Jesus' name. Amen.